Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, taking the bull by the horns. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found us on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We're going to shout out to European capitals here, that cities really, that are following us. The first one is Basel, Switzerland. Basel's famed for its rich cultural scene, particularly museums. It's the status as Switzerland's oldest university city and vibrant art scene, especially renowned for the big art festival every year called Art Basel. Yes, Miami, they were the first. Miami Art Basel, this is the original one. Our other town is Amsterdam, Netherlands, also known as the City of Sin. Amsterdam is ranked as the leading city of sin due to the widely available adult entertainment, such as legalized prostitution, strip clubs, sex shops, sex shows, and cannabis consumption in the coffee shops. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol could be the main reason we are here. And there was a study where scientists reported that drinking beer can be good for your liver. I'm sorry, did I say scientists? I meant Irish people.
Hey.
Speaking of the great people of Ireland, I'm back on the Smithwick's Red Ale. Can't get off of it. I love Smithwick's Red Ale. Don't go buy it. It's all for me. Kat, what you got?
Just having a little Mai Tai. I read an article about all the tiki bars that used to be in L.A. A lot of them are gone now.
Boo. Sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right, today we're going to play psychiatrist and try to figure out how people become obsessed with money. Why and how do some people end up lying, cheating, and stealing to get a dollar? It's the only thing on their mind when their feet hit the floor every day. Nothing wrong with watching your money, especially these days, watching it go away. And, you know, a lot of sharks out there trying to steal it. Millions of Americans do play the stock market, probably the most addictive form of gambling ever created. There are people who are addicted to clicking the mouse and spending hours watching their stocks and bonds go up and down. My stuff's all kind of fixed rate, so no real excitement for me. Again, nothing wrong with checking in, seeing what your money's doing. But to be obsessed over it, a little strange. You know, there's another type of money-hungry weirdo. Someone who doesn't want to pay full price for anything. You know, enjoys the art of the deal. Makes them feel good when somebody puts a price tag on something and they want to have a discussion about it, try to talk the seller down off his asking price. You know, I understand this. If you're going to buy a vehicle, it's almost expected. Some people take the bargaining tool to like a new low level. You know, some of these losers take advantage of the elderly, take advantage of someone who doesn't really know the true value of what they have. You know, the art of the deal weirdo will come in, take advantage of these situations, and leave there laughing after they got something for nothing. No conscience, no couth, no class, just obsessed, trying to get over on somebody. Very strange. You know, I wonder how someone gets to this level of needing to always win the barter contest. you know, at all cost. You know, how do you get to that point? I don't know. Did somebody take their toys away from them when they were little? Did someone trick them into selling something they had, which is way more value than they sold it for, and they never got over it? I don't know. I don't know what happened. What brings a person to be obsessed with money? You know, these freaks of nature, they get up every day. First thing on their mind is, you know, who can I screw over today? Again, look, got nothing against bucks, money, you know. I don't have any because I like to enjoy my life. But, you know, we got to have the dollar bills to pay the bills, hit the grocery store. More importantly, hit the liquor store every week. But the obsession with it, you know, and let the dollar bill rule your every decision, kind of crazy. The reason I brought this up was I had this idea floating around in my head a few years ago that I want to leave this planet with nothing, which kind of strange theory because we really don't know when our last day is coming. So to try to make that happen, it's going to be a little tricky. You know, the old saying, you can't take it with you. Exactly. You can't. That's why I don't get people that have stacks in the bank and they still get up every day and the only thing they could think about is jacking up somebody for more. Not me. I want to enjoy myself while I'm still here. When my time comes, I don't want to owe anybody. I don't want anybody owing me. You might be thinking, you know, what a selfish prick. You know, you don't want to leave your wife and kids anything when you go. Good question. Got the good answer. It's called life insurance. Got it. Nobody here on the back porch is going to be left hungry when I'm gone. You know, even taking care of the funeral arrangements, okay? I know that sounds a little creepy, you know, to make plans for when your number's called. But think all the trouble, you know, you're saving your family when that day comes. As usual, anytime I come up with a great idea, somebody comes along and steals it. Some dude named Bill Perkins, who happens to be an atheist. I'm not. Bill wrote a book called Die with Zero. And in this book, he explains how dying with hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank just shows how much time you spent working and not doing other things like spending time with your family, hiking, reading, traveling, whatever you want to do. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Bill Perkins should probably split the profits from his book with me. I came up with the idea first. Now, right now, it would be easy for me to go out even Steven. Never been a big saver. But me and the wifey do enjoy some of the finer things in life that do cost a little more. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, the goal is to peace out with 32 cents in my account. So wish me luck. All right, let's roll right into one tough son of a bitch. Ow! Got it. Lou Gossett Jr.?
Yep.
Born in 1936 from Brooklyn, New York. You know Lou. Great actor. Started on the Broadway stage as a teenager. Lou Gossett Jr. transitioned to television, did the big screen. Lou's parents, his mom was a nurse. His dad was a porter. Little rough childhood. He had polio as a kid. You don't hear about polio anymore. His high school teacher encouraged him to pursue acting. Just too many shows and movies to mention. Back in our day, Lou Gossett Jr. was like a very coveted actor.
Right. He won an Oscar for Officer and Gentleman. He also portrayed the Fiddler in the miniseries Roots. First black man to win Best Supporting Actor.
That was in Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah, right.
Very good movie.
Very good movie.
Yep. Couple Golden Globes, couple Daytime Emmys, and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And that makes Lou Gossett Jr. one tough son of a bitch. Did we watch something?
We watched something, and it was pretty good. I kind of went into the back catalog, I guess, of Netflix. It was a little drama limited series there on Netflix. It was called Made. And let's see, it's inspired by Stephanie Land's memoir, Made: Hard Work, Low Pay, and a Mother's Will to Survive. The story is about a young mother who escapes an abusive relationship and provides for her daughter by getting a job cleaning, and is premiered back in October 1st, 2021. I might have missed it because of COVID, but it was a pretty good series. And what happens is Alex leaves her abusive boyfriend, moves to a shelter with her toddler, gets a job cleaning for this little company called Value Mage. The show follows Alex's struggle to raise a young child, deal with an abusive ex-boyfriend and her own dysfunctional family, and navigate the red tape of government assistance while working as a maid and dreaming of a future as a writer. The story takes place in Seattle, and Alex frequently is taking the ferry to this fictional little island called Fisher Island, which is supposed to be a nicer part of the area. And it was just one of those where I got sucked in. And when she leaves the boyfriend, she doesn't really see herself as a victim of domestic violence. He never really touched me. But of course, he's taken things away from her, like the ability to earn money, the ability to take care of her money, like, you know, constantly belittling her. She's there with the child.
That's happened a lot.
In the mobile home 24/7, hardly stuck. Ever stuck, you know. She's stuck, and she doesn't really, you know, she's sitting there with the social worker going, well, I'm not really a battered woman. He's never really hurt me. Of course, he took a ashtray and slammed it up against the wall right next to her head. But, you know, she didn't really, and she had to walk across that ashtray to get her ass out of this trailer. And it just things, and she's, you know, just like she's trying to work this job being a maid, and some drunk idiot hits her car. And she's left there with a vacuum cleaner and a toddler trying to get to the ferry to go clean somebody's house. And the dysfunction,
brutal.
Completely brutal. And of course, one of the actors, really great actors, Andy McDowell, one of your favorites, plays the mom, who's completely narcissistic and also severely bipolar. So you just can see she has no other soft place to land. No one is out there help. You know, you wonder who. I financially supported a little abusive women's shelter just in the next town over. Several times a year, I'll send them some money.
A very familiar story.
Yes. And it's just crazy that, you know, she has no other option here. You know, you sit there and we're giving money for this, that, and the other. Like, there's actually people out there that really do need the money, and battered women really, because they have no, they're sitting here with a small child. You're going to just send them to the homeless shelter? No, they actually need funds and direction. And there's one part where she ends up back into the trailer, and you can just see that she is just shrinking into like a hole. She just cannot get out of.
What's it called?
It's called Made.
It's on
Netflix, and at the moment you can still watch it on Netflix. It was a very good, I mean, it was up for, let's see, Primetime Emmy nominations. Also, she was up for 3 Golden Globe nominations for this. It's, you know, it's one of those in the back catalog. It's great to pull out and watch. And I would, you know, if nothing else, after watching, you're going to want to pull out your wallet and send it to your local abused women's shelter.
Well, after hearing that, I feel like I'm going to pull out my shot glass. I need a cheer up mode. What do we got?
We have liquid marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
It's actually a drink, but we're going to do it as a shot.
Oh,
if you're doing it as a drink.
Should I get the lighter?
No, no lighters needed. It's a half an ounce of Jim Beam, a half an ounce of tequila, half an ounce of blue curacao, half an ounce of apple pucker, 2.5 ounces of sweet and sour mix, and a half an ounce of pineapple.
That's a lot of stuff. Bourbon and tequila are in this shot glass right here?
Yes.
All right, I'll give it a... I'll try anything once. Cheers, babe.
That was a lot.
I like it.
You like it?
I like it.
You like the green color?
I like marijuana. I mean liquid marijuana. I do. I'll have another. What's in it again?
It is Jim Beam or any bourbon that you prefer.
Not Jim Beam. Anything.
It's tequila, blue curacao, apple pucker, sweet and sour mix, and pineapple juice.
Yeah, I'd minus the apple pucker, and that could work. All right. Thank you, Kat, for the liquid marijuana.
You're welcome.
All right. Today, we were bumpered in with a band called The Rascals. You know them. Formed in 1965 from Garfield, New Jersey. Let's see. Good Lovin', A Beautiful Morning. You know these songs. Groovin', the song we were bumpered in with today. Everybody knows these songs. The Rascals were known for starting a style of music called blue-eyed soul, kind of a mix of rhythm and blues.
I always think of the Emery Brothers as the blue-eyed soul. I don't know.
Did you say Emery?
How do you say their name?
The Everly Brothers?
There we go. Everly Brothers.
That's wrong, too.
Okay. I'm completely
not
wrong.
Not the name, but the style.
The style.
Blue-eyed soul. It was... We'll say black music played by white artists.
Well, then that might be Pat Boone, too, right?
Stop. All right. The Rascals were discovered by Billy Smith. And you're like, Billy Smith? Wow, Billy Smith lives right down the road from me. Billy Smith managed the Rascals. He also helped the Beatles and the Stones blow up in the States. Very important dude back in the day. The Rascals were the first white act to be signed to Atlantic Records. I had a lot of 45s. Put out by Atlantic Records back in the day. I still remember it was like a red logo with a little black writing on it. The Rascals were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1997. They were inducted by Little Steven. We know him from the E Street Band. He inducted the band and said the Rascals were the first rock and roll band. Check out the Rascals wherever you get your music. I want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya. Down a crowded avenue.